Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And maybe a Twisted Mister or two. We never know. I want to thank everyone for the rights for tonight's show. And I want to welcome aboard Pam and Naomi. It's good to have you ladies here. It's a
good to be here.
Good to be here.
And you're same time.
Hi, Pam.
I'm just going to say, in case anybody was curious, that was the Kinks that did our intro tonight. Pam sent me this great little page, and there it was, and I went, whoa, I like the Kinks. So I said, well,
yeah, me too. Great choice.
Out of it, yeah, I was kind of like, I was very hesitant, but I said, nah, you know, I kind of like it. So that's how we want it. I just thought, that's what that was. But it was a great, that was a neat little page you sent, Pam. We had no idea there were so many songs about
it. Yeah, who knew that there was a page called 10 Best Songs About Tea?
How crazy is that? How crazy is that? See, we must have been on to something. That's what I'm going to say. You know, I was
right?
Searching high and low, trying to find something prior to Pam finding that page, and it was kind of challenging because I'm like, oh my God, you know. And we didn't want to sound too juvenile when we started the show, but I'd have leave that way if I didn't have a choice. That's what I'll tell you, because you know I'm like that, you know. You know. But anyway, yes, what an interesting contest this turned out to be, and I'm kind of happy about it. Kind of happy about it. All kinds of different kinds of rights, and I don't know, I guess everybody had different thoughts, and I was kind of afraid that we were going to run into a whole bunch of Alice in Wonderland and the Mad Hatter kind of rights, and but that doesn't seem to be what happened. I mean, there's a mention here or a mention there, but I don't think that we were really overwhelmed by it. And that was pretty cool. That's what I got to say. So, anyway, I had questions tossed my way on the topic, on the contest board, and just so everybody knows, I put a link where to purchase those teapots, just in case anybody's confused or curious or whatever. I actually found them on Pinterest. And then I went to find that the fellow's name who created them, his name is Grafton. I don't remember his first name, but you can look him up. It's Grafton Pottery, I believe. And he's got all kinds of wonderful work and a bunch of different work, you know, not just teapots. But I can tell you that the purchase price almost cracked me up. I was so shocked. Each one of those teapots is $39.95. I said, well, you can't beat that, you know, especially if you find something, a novelty that you really want to, you know, maybe collect or something. So anyway, I'm done with my little sales pitch. I couldn't help myself, though. I was so shocked and taken back. I was like, wow, really? I can do $39.95 on a good day. You know, I got to find a good day, though. But yes, it was fun. So when I looked it up, I said, yeah, that works. But don't be fooled, because the original of one of those teapots goes for almost $1,100 on, I think it was eBay, I saw it. Yep. So I don't know how.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure if that was, I think that they were still taking bids when I saw it, but at that point it was $1,070. So I'm sure it went past that. I'm not sure, Laurent. You have to check the link in the contest because it'll tell you exactly what the dimensions are and stuff. They're not super tall or super small. I think somebody told me they're relatively good size. So, yep. But they were fun. So, yeah. I liked it because they had everything across the board. It wasn't just a bunch of Cheshire-looking cats and, you know, like crazy-looking dogs and birds and
octopuses.
You know, and elephants.
Yeah.
I love the elephants. It was so cool. So just neat stuff. So anyway, I'm going to shut up now and I guess get on with this show. But we got lots of goodies. Lots of goodies. So
yeah.
Happy we're see what we can do first. Because God forbid I should have been like prepared enough to at least have some starting point, right? Heaven forbid. You know what? I think that I shall never see. Oh wait, wrong show.
Well,
you know, well, everybody's awake, that's for sure.
So, any chance you know how big those teapots are?
No, how big are those teapots, Pam?
The average size? Okay. I'm only asking because someone asked on the board.
I know, Laurent asked, but I did answer him on the radio. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. He'd have to check the link from the contest where to purchase, because I know it gives you a list of all of them and tells you how big they are, but I don't recall off the top of my head. Otherwise,
yeah,
what has spouted it out? Okay, I don't know where I want to begin here, ladies. Well, I know what to do. Here, when all else fails. Sam, I'm going to need you to read one right off the top.
Okie dokie.
Here we go. Zoom.
Mine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. This is sun exposure and bergamot oil, and it goes like this. He's got a Buffalo Bill grin, full concentration on making the perfect cucumber sandwich. Razor-thin slices, a slathering of unsalted butter, and a light touch with the pepper. He's got a wildcat fervor for a piping hot cup of Earl Grey tea, inhales the rich floral fragrance of bergamot oil, and avoids the ruby ring of sun exposure. Life is good in the dark, or so he thinks. Rabbit holes are full of tea leaves yet to be read. We all want a secret to chew on, no matter how bitter the grit that coats the tongue. One sip for country, one sip for the queen of hearts and the queer way she tips her hat. He adores cake in the park on rainy days. The frosting melts like Ophelia's hair in the river. He licks the beads like a cocogasmic experience of feathers caught in a come-hither point. The ravens have flown from the tower to join him for a spot, O Freeman's tea. London Bridge is falling down, and the rest of the world is not far behind. End poem.
Awesome piece there, Pam. I really like it. I really like it. I like what you took from that image, for sure. Naomi, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I love this too, you know. How you take us, it's amazing how you can take us in one right from Buffalo Bill right down to, you know, London Bridge is falling down. just amazing. And, you know, the cocogasmic experience of feathers caught in a come-hither point. I just love that. And the ravens have flown from the tower to join him for a spot. Oh, free man's tea. London Bridge is falling down and the rest of the world is not far behind. I just love all your references in this poem. And, you know, and the message that's also there. The rest of the world is not far behind. Just amazing, amazing, right? Amazing. I just love the way you can create such unique metaphors and, you know, just so such fun and intelligent metaphors, yes, but just the way you write, you know, you just go from one thing to another and it all fits so wonderfully together. And just amazing. Every write you write, Pam, is just amazing. And just this is just superb. Just so much fun.
Thank
and
you.
Just a delight to hear you read it.
Well, thank you, Naomi.
I have to agree with everything Naomi said. I really do. I really do. I was not even trying to be funny. I really do. I think that it's just a wonderful write all the way through. I loved how you started out with, you know, Buffalo Bill, but then you went into cucumber sandwiches, you know, with that typical, like, you know, tea time kind of approach. And I absolutely love the pairing of the Earl Grey with the chosen teapot. Earl Grey is such a distinct tea. You know, the perfumed scent of the Earl Grey. And it's a little bit stronger than, you know, most other teas, in my opinion. You know, I could be wrong. I haven't tasted all the teas in the world. But I think that it really, it has a weightier kind of taste. And I think that the teapots actually kind of call for that with the images, because the images are all a little bit, like, heavy, you know. So I think that was a great pairing on that.
Yeah.
You know, and I did love the ravens have flown from the tower to join him for a spot of free man's tea. London Bridge is falling down, and the rest of the world is not far behind. What a true statement to end that on! Like it was just it was like a nailed it moment. You know what I mean? It just kind of hit home, you know. But there's wonderful, wonderful lines all through this. you know, between the cake in the park and the rainy days, frosty nuts, your hair. I mean, you've got so much incorporated into this writing. You know, I love the stanza with the Queen of Hearts. It's just a clever and creative write. It's definitely all creative and wonderful. So excellent job, Pam. I really liked it.
Well, thank you.
Pam, would you like to comment on this piece?
Yeah, it is the bergamot oil that actually does give Earl Grey tea its distinct
mm-hmm.
flavor. Because other than that, it's like black.
Other than that, it's boring, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. How funny. No, it's, that was definitely a great write. You know, like I said, I agree with Aunt Naomi on every point that she made. There's a lot of greatness to it, and, you know, she touched on how clever you are when you write, and, you know, I couldn't argue one point of that. Well, you know, I'm only kidding. Only kidding. I'm going to be good now.
It was a fun prompt to choose one and a fun one to write to. So thank you for the inspiration.
I'm glad you liked it, Pam. I just thought they were just different, you know. They weren't same old. And they weren't serious. Because, you know, we don't have to be serious all the time. Well, I don't. I'm not good at being serious. Anyway, let me see. Okay, let me grab one for Naomi. I guess, you know what? I want to do it to you too, Naomi, just because I can. Because I don't know where the hell I want to go with this. I'm all confused, so. We'll put yours out there, and we'll just see what happens from there. Oh, what did I do with that? That's what it is. Okay, I feel totally lost the room. This is just going to be one of those moments. Okay, Naomi, whenever you're ready.
Oh, okay, mine. Yeah, I had fun writing this. It reminded me when I wrote poems for my kids in class, so I just went with it. Like, it was so inspiring, the teapot, so fun. So this is called Three with Tea. Hey, diddle diddle, starving in the middle, the fat cat sat with the slyest eyes and his mischievous smile, as two birds inward flied, and perched on top as a hat. Now you, I'm so happy to see, you're just in time for tea, he contentedly sighed, his teeth a mile wide. And I see there you've brought me a treat, that is indeed so sweet. So glad we could meet. But now stop all that squabbling and do gobble that worm, because my gracious, you squirm. Please do take a seat, because you're half scratching my back off with your feet. But the invitees were too busy, caught up in a frenzy, and the cat did declare, my gracious, I swear, you're driving me crazy with all your racket up there. Then annoyed, the cat growled as out sprang his claws, and after an uproar of feathers and all, then he contentedly meowed as inside his tummy to birdies so yummy did accompany his tea with a few drops of honey. And the cat chanted in rhyme. Now that was divine. I've had my tea and also have dined. But although them birdies were so fine, that wiggly worm, I must confess, will be hard to digest. I do wish there'd been less. Two with tea instead of three. Now, pussycat, have you been a brat? Tell me, have you been mean? Where have you been? Who, little old me? Why, no. I've been up to London for tea with the Queen. But hi-ho the dairy-o, the Queen was nowhere to be seen. So I met up with the farmer in the dell and two of the sweetest swallows. So swell. End poem.
Oh, my God. That is great, Naomi. Really, it was fun. Pam, you want to kick us off, hon? Oh, my God.
Sure. I really liked this. It had that, you know, story time feel to it. It had a classic story time where it's fun and you're playing with the words and you're especially playing with rhyme, but you're fitting in those kind of moral lessons. You know, like, and the number one lesson, of course, for this, as I get it, is that if you're a bird or two, you should not trust a cat with a grin on its face. So, but I really like how you fit in, like, well-known verses, like, hey, diddle, diddle, the farmer in the dell, pussycat, where have you been? And then, you know, but add your own words on so that, you know, it's got a more up-to-date feel to it. I like that you bring in the personality of the birds and the cat, you know, the way they just, but the invitees were too busy caught up in a frenzy. The cat did declare, my gracious, I swear you are driving me crazy with all your racket up there. Like, you can just picture them squabbling back and forth. And that poor cat, when he realized that he had swallowed the worm, the wiglet, then birds were so fine, that wiggly worm, I must confess, will be hard to digest. I do wish there'd been less, two with tea instead of three. And then, of course, that ending, when the cat declares his innocence, I just thought, oh, my goodness, you know, I just had to laugh. And you did such a superb read of that with the right kind of inflections and character notes for, like, each character. So very well done, Naomi.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pam.
Yeah, Naomi, this is, I have to agree with everything Pam said. See, that's the way it goes tonight, I guess. you know, I love how you started out, you know, with the hey, diddle, diddle, but then you focused on the cat and the birds and, you know, that whole little story coming down. And I thought that was great. And then all of a sudden when you started going on about now, pussycat, have you been a brat? I could see where you were leaning into, you know, pussycat, where have you been? And then when I saw, you know, about you've been to London to see the Queen and hi-ho the Dario, the way you ended it was so, what's the word I want? It was fun. It was creative. It was a bunch of familiar pieces for all of us. But totally noncommittal to any one thing in particular. You know, it's just as if, I don't know if Mother Goose is the right character for this, but as if Mother Goose had told this whole story and then kind of fell back into her rhyme and her ideas and her thoughts of, you know, other things that she has written. I don't know how else to express that, and it probably sounded silly. But... but it was great, and the way you read it added so much more life to it. I think that just really set it over the top. So, excellent work. Excellent work.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you for that one. Yes, it was a lot of fun. See? Now I got you two going over and done with. Don't all get excited now. And it still leaves me to trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. But hey, you know, let me see. I think that I shall read. Thanks, Lorraine. He told me on the fort out there. It seems very cool. Okay, I'm going to put this one up by Daniel Duhan. And this is called Tea for Two. And let me see. Take my hand, oh dear, for we are going for afternoon tea and crumpets with jam. All our friends will be there, dressed in fine clothes. Ladies will don their blue bonnets. Gentlemen will wear top hats and carry walking sticks with ducks and dragons on top, and be attired in black suits and bow ties. Minstrels will play midnight serenades, and a dance will ensue. After we can retire to black tea on the table with white linen and white lace by flickering candlelight, and discuss the days of chivalry and knights, when fair maidens were rescued on a black horse, with the knight's armor gleaming like a star. After our night has concluded, we shall sleep in the arms of each other's hearts. Yes, well, I think that Daniel went on just to tell us the tale of, is it your tea party or tea? So, let's see, Pam, Naomi, you want to kick us off on this one? I'll start there.
Yeah, well, I just loved everything about this. It's just like a love ballad, you know, all the way through, you know. Mm-hmm. Take my hand, oh dear, for we are going for afternoon tea. You know, it's just, you can just picture them there, you know, the couple going on to this tea party where everybody's dressed up. And, you know, the minstrels, they play midnight serenades and a dance, and there's a dance. And, you know, the white linen and white lace and the flickering candle lights. And, you know, and I just love that he put in to discuss the days of chivalry and knights. Fair maidens, and you know, there's just this whole old you know, references, you know, like you when you think of tea, you think of back in the ages when they did drink tea, you know, and it was mm-hmm. such an important part, you know, and he brings all that in. And you know, and of course I just love the ending, we shall sleep in the arms of each other's hearts. Just a beautiful, beautiful way to attend this poem. So great job, Danielle. I just love this.
Great comment there, Naomi. And Pam, what did you have to tell us about
this? I really enjoyed this too. I like how he had like little details that just made it fun, like the gentlemen that carry walking sticks with ducks and dragons on top. I like the mention of the chivalry, the fair maidens, how he brought us back to almost like medieval times. I like how this has that romantic feel in the ending. After our night has concluded, we shall sleep in the arms of each other's hearts. It's such a simple setting, and yet it makes the imagination just spark with the whole imagery of even like the blue bonnets and every little thing that, you know, you could imagine at this tea party. So excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that Daniel did a nice job with this piece. I thought it was a wonderful tale told, and what a lovely tea party. I mean, he had such an eye for detail in this piece. That he just painted such a wonderful picture. You could almost get dropped right into the goings on. You know, you could put yourself in that place in that time, and it reminded me of, you know, for lack of another term, a ball. You know, when everyone goes and it's or a cotillion, everybody goes and they have this wonderful time and what have you. And I like how he made it the tea party. And I love how he described everyone's dress. And, you know, as you said, Pam, you know, about the walking sticks with the specific heads on them and what have you. I just think it was very clever and very well done. Just nice work, Daniel. And thank you so much for sharing with us. Absolutely.
You know what else it kind of reminded me of, and I thought of this while you were commenting, Jean, is the Jane Austen. It reminded me of a scene in a Jane Austen novel.
It's true.
Like Pride and Prejudice.
There you go. There you go. It had a very familiar feel to it. That's what I can say. I probably couldn't pinpoint anything specific like that, but it was a very familiar feel, definitely. And I liked his sense of detail in this, and he didn't get too deep into any one thing, but he painted such a wonderful picture, and that's
really
what
did.
I really liked about that. Very well done piece. So excellent, excellent comments, you guys. Okay, let's see. I think Laurent wandered off. I'm going to see what he has to say. But not now. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to put up the next piece by Diane D. And Pam, we have an audio for that one, if you do not mind. I know I've got to do that. Oh, God. I have to go find
and it. Here we go.
The Teetotaler by Diane D. You'll fancy a tea now, would you? In a flowery bone china cup? Squatting are two drunken parrots, screeching and asking what's up. You got to be gone with ye twigs. Me cup's not a place you can squat. Meself, I'm just a teetotaler. I just walk the streets with me pot. Got no spirits in me, Royal Albert. Not a place for nippers to nest. I can offer you a summer's breakfast, an Earl Grey or chai tea at best. Then sing us a tune, Mr. Total Tea, of coconuts, pineapple, and ale. But me music, it went sober, me mateys. That barrel is weathered and stale. But maybe I got me some swagger, though I'm as dry as a sun-wrinkled thistle. I think I can send you off flying if I can get me old teapot to whistle. So belting it out to the rooftops was a song that he called Parrot Soup. His recipe called for carrots and parrots, and it was used just to help pirates poop. So off to the salts flew these parrots. They knew that this tea bag was serious. He would open their bellies and rip out their liver, because he was at one time delirious. End poem.
Great piece, Diane. Pam, you want to start us off on this one?
Sure. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this was great fun. I like that she brings us into the teetotaler, the people who don't drink. It's just a great story, I like got no spirits in me, Royal Albert, not a place for nippers to nest. I can offer you a summer's breakfast or Earl Grey or chai tea at best. I also like, but maybe I got me some swagger, though I'm as dry as a sun-wrinkled thistle. I think I can sing you off flying if I can get me old teapot to whistle. There's just really clever and fun imagery in here all the way through, and I very much enjoyed this.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I just love this, like this parody pirate tea party here going on. I just love the end. I was just chuckling, because I read this earlier. And, this parrot soup, it's great that she saw those birds. And she saw them as parrots, and then she went on and she, she took like the pirate root and the parrot soup, and just great that she made this whole clever and witty poem out of the whole that whole prompt there, that whole teapot there, just amazing, amazing job, amazing rhythm and you know, flow. The rhyme is perfect, and I agree with Pam. You know, just so clever lines all throughout. Just amazing job here, Diane. So much fun. Just loved it.
Yeah, I have to say.
But
those poor
parrots, though.
I'm telling you. It got a little bit scary at the end here. I think Diane really did a good job with this piece. I think that, you know, the two drunken parrots starting out was pretty comical. And, you know, the further down it goes, you know, all of a sudden you kind of lose track of them for a second. You know, all of a sudden they're back. And then she starts really working them in again. But, yeah, you'll fancy a tea now, would you, in a flowery bone china cup, squatting there, two drunken parrots, screeching and asking, what's up? Oh, my God. That was a great intro for the whole thing. But so belting it out to the rooftops was a song that he called Parrot Soup. His recipe called for carrots and parrots, and it was used just to help pirates poop. I was like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, there's definitely a great sense of humor running through this piece. And, you know, until, of course, she ripped out their liver, then all of a sudden it wasn't funny anymore. But, you know, everything's funny until it's not, right? Poor parrots. So it was just a great humorous piece. And Diane, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Let me see now. Okay. One word. Hit enter. Okay, I'm out. I can leave that space now. Yes. Let me see. I have no idea where I was going. Oh, I do know where I was going. I have a piece lined up for Pam. Miss Pam.
Yes.
How are you? I got to play something just for Miss Pam. Here, Miss Pam.
A cup of tea, a cookie, and you.
Yeah. That was one of our little signs this afternoon. It was too funny. Okay. Yeah, I know. I'm not well. It's okay. You don't have to dance around it. You don't have to tiptoe around that.
That was funny. With Hazel.
Yeah, I had Pam on the phone and she goes, what was that? Oh, my God, yes. So I think that's the way it works. Okay, Pam, here you go. I'm going to put the piece up now. And
all right. All right. Tea Before the Chase by Time Teller. It's time to bring it all down in ruin. Break it up and finish doing what you're doing. Come join us instead. Let's have afternoon tea. The time is ticking. Have a fresh brew with me. The time is passing. It's pleasant to sit and chat. Forget all that retrograding because it's kind of silly to dwell negatively and certainly crap. Yet here, drinking tea, you now have nothing, so let's join together our forces to build a very something. New endeavors, challenges, and journeys. It's never easy being the universe's attorney. But I'm pleading to you now on behalf of stupid Pluto. It's going backwards, and I'm here to make it a game of Ludo. Have a biscuit or some cake. I've invited the moon, Milky Way, and the stars. Would you like some ice cream? It's so yummy. Some tastes like Mars. Have some sugar, perhaps not. You look as if you should. Retrograde a bit black tea for you, oh silly me, I'm such a tit. Do you know the time? The celestial being is late. Embrace your change, because that's embracing fate. She sat at the end of the table, her twin sister Karma and her stepmother Fable. Did I introduce the brothers Grimm? They like their tea as to cake. It's always on a whim. Biscuits and sweets are their pride and joy. And, oh, of course, next to you sits the constellation. You wouldn't believe it. They're just so coy. Now then, sit and discuss where are you going afterwards, on which bus. Rebuild in the positive. Suck it up, all that tea. Pour it out the saucer and slurp like a trooper. You are, you see. Try to enjoy the time. Smile, at least. Pretend if you can. As Capricorn drags back Pluto, remember, it's dangerous to seek sunbed tan. And look around the tea party for hints at new beginnings. After all, I've invited half the universe, fables, and folklore. Should be enough to gain momentum and winnings. Don't jump or dive right in. Don't let them play or dig your mind with old things to mend. Don't let them block out all the sun and its choices. Have a good look and choose, like finding the right Rolls Royces. Pluto is trying to break it all up, drifting backwards, pulling the ropes and strings till the tablecloth becomes frayed, spilling the tea from our cups. Let's brew a fresh pot and refill to the brim. Don't let silly Pluto get under your skin. End poem.
Nice read, Dan. Nice read. Okay, well, Naomi, that brings me to you.
Yeah. A lot packed into this right here by Tim Keller. It's a great write. I'm amazed with the end rhyming, you know, in those long sentences, which are, you know, very hard to do, you know, to keep the momentum going. Mm-hmm. When you have that rhyme at the end there. But he did it. He did it really well throughout this write. And I love, you know, the idea that he brings up time passing. And, you know, it's just pleasant to sit and chat. And you forget all that retrograding because it's kind of silly to dwell negatively and certainly crap. Enjoy the time that you have. And don't give all the negativity and you know, all the crappy stuff. And, you know, I love how he personalizes so many things in here, like, you know, the sister Karma and her stepmother Fable, and then the brothers Grimm. you know, he brought them in. And, you know, I just love how he went through all the you know, and he incorporated, you know, the planets like Pluto into it, you know, which is like kind of made him the bad guy here. Just an amazing write all through with so many layers and so much stuff packed in, you know. So wonderfully packed in, so wonderfully written. So just an amazing write.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you there, Naomi. And Pam, how about you? You want to comment?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed how it took the idea of Pluto keep trying to go into retrograde, and everybody's in a panic, and this meeting is called. And in this meeting is all those different famous people or, you know, ideas, mythologies that you can think of. I like that he's gathered together Karma and the constellations, and Capricorn keeps trying to drag Pluto back. You know, it's got a nice, dry humor to it. I really like don't jump or dive right in. Don't let them play or dig your mind with old things to mend. Don't let them block out all the sun and its choices. Have a good look and choose, like finding the right Rolls Royces. I feel like even with amongst the humor, there's like a kind of an important message in the idea of, you know, don't let other people control your thoughts, you know, and right. Don't let other people influence you necessarily. Learn to think for yourself. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Great comment. I had to laugh at this. These were so packed full of stuff, you know, constellations and karma and the universe and all that. But I'll tell you what, when it got down to don't let them block out all the sun and its choices, have a good look and choose, like, finding the right Rolls Royces. I actually had to laugh because way back when, I just didn't watch, you know, musicals, you know, always. I just turn them on and sit there and cross-stitch and listen and watch. But this one I happened to catch one night was so obscure, and it was called The Apple. And The Apple was about the hippies, and they were in, like, Central Park, and somewhere towards the end of this, yeah, it was really bizarre. But somewhere towards the end of this musical, God came down to collect all the good children in a white Rolls Royce.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was talking about all these celestial things and constellations and all this, and he had to throw in a Rolls Royce, and I about lost it. Because it really was funny. It's the strangest musical I ever did see in my life. And I know I saw it. I wasn't hallucinating. I was drug-free. And I was alcohol-free.
Okay, so you weren't, like, puffing on an apple bong or something like that?
No, I wasn't doing none of that. I was sitting here cross-stitching my little butt off, just staring at the screen. You know, and I kept shaking my head, and I was laughing. My friend was with me, and we were sitting there just chuckling at this thing. But, yep, the Rolls Royce. Your time teller really had me. That was it. That's all I needed to see was Rolls Royces, and this whole thing was sold in my book. It was just an interesting ride with lots of different directions and, like, different things to think about. And I thought he did a wonderful job for the prompt. And I say that because he thought the prompt was, tell us the tale of your tea party. So that's exactly what he did. And it was very imaginative and creative. And I know that Laurent put something big out on the board about it. He said Pluto is trying to break it all up, drifting backwards, pulling the ropes and strings till the tablecloth becomes frayed, spilling the tea from our cups. Let's brew a fresh pot and refill to the brim. Don't let silly Pluto get under your skin. He said, great peace and cosmic right. Poor Pluto denigrated, downgraded from planethood, bitter. Puff, puff, pass, he said. I wasn't puff, puff, pass enough. I was legitimately straight and sober. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Not necessarily a good thing, but I was truthful that way. Okay, what do I have here? Maybe that's how I imagined all that. Not too funny, actually. Okay, Naomi. I have one for you. There we go.
Okay. Partners. The cat and the mouse have agreed to be partners in crime, if you please. For the cat was inspired by a dream one night while blowing off steam. Brewing his most infamous tea, the mouse was really not his enemy. So he fashioned a tea party in the mist, and away they both might coexist. The tea party might have been a ruse, for the tea was spice herb infused. Only one sip could cast a fair spell, but they both drank and it worked so well that they decided to sign a decree that would actually set them both free. Once they happily settled all that, they drank tea and both took a nap. End poem.
Cute. Pam, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, well, first of all, I like that she decided to write a poem called Partners that was about two characters in couplets. I don't know if she purposely chose to do that, but I thought it was a great choice, feeling she did. I like it all the way through, but I think my absolute favorite was the tea party might have been a ruse, for the tea was spice herb infused. Only one sip would cast a fair spell, but they both drank, and it worked so well. Like, the idea, like, you just think at that point something could have gone wrong, but it's like, well, it seems like it worked out for the best. And, you know, I like how it ended up working out for the best. So clever, right? Great rhyming couplets and very well done.
Yes, yes, yes. I have to agree. Naomi, how about you, hon?
Oh, yeah. I just love this little tale, you know, that she spun up here. And, you know, the prompt, what a great take on that prompt. You know, they're both napping, mm-hmm. the mouse and the cat. So, you know, she just hit that prompt right on the nail there with this little tail. I just love only one sip would cast the fair spell, but they both drank and it worked so well. And then they sign a decree, which actually set them both free. And then she finishes with the nap, which, you know, really, really represents the prompt, chosen prompt. Yeah, like Pam said, such wonderfully crafted couplets, you know, and it was so easy to read. It flowed so well. So just a great, great write all through.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. I really like this. I thought, Pam, I have to absolutely agree with you, and I don't know that I would have noticed partners, you know, and the couplets and all that. I don't think I would have put two and two together, you know, because, well, if I put two and two together, I might come up with five. You know, sometimes it's that way in my head. But I really loved the rhymes, and I thought the rhythm of it was good, you know, in each set. So he fashioned a tea party in the mist, and a way they could both might coexist. You know, I like that the fact that she fitted in with the word coexist. I thought that was a great choice of word, because really they had to come to an agreement, otherwise they were going to have to fight all the time. No, I just thought it was good. Tom and Jerry, I mean, look at them. They chased each other for 100 years. You know. And for what? Nobody ever won, so it would be easier just to have a cup of tea and get over it. But, yeah, but I do like how she even started this out. The cat and the mouse have agreed to be partners in crime, if you please. Like, that was a great lead-in to the rest of it, and I think it was enough to catch your attention and say, oh, where are we going from here? I think it was just a really, you know, a well-done piece and a clever write on the prompt. Because that was a kind of a relaxed kind of prompt. So it was nice. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Let me see what I have now. I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm missing something. What do we have here? You know, a few diplomats who should be drinking herb infused tea. Absolutely, Laurent. I agree with that. We could give it to a lot of them. Bars, come drink your tea. Too funny. Okay, the next one I'm going to put up is by Kitty, the Naughty Poet. And, Pam, I think, we have an audio for that one, don't we? Yes, we do.
Yes, I believe we do. All right, and here we go.
Tea by Kitty, the Naughty Poet. What kind of tea will it be? We have a kitty tea with sharp teeth that will have you imagining all kinds of things, like falling down the rabbit hole to visit Alice, the Mad Hatter, and his nutty friends. There's a sailing tea that makes you believe you're out on a boat in the middle of the sea, just like Jack Sparrow in The Flying Dutchman, but with an octopus sucking your face instead of the crackers. How about a feather tea, made like an owl's brain, brewed wisely with every cup, but you'll only be able to twit to whom you feel needs the truth, and leaving at the right moment, flapping your unfeathered wings. So spill, not the tea, but tell me, what kind will it be? and peace.
Nice. Naomi, you want to start us off?
Oh, don't you love her voice? That's the first time I heard her, a SoundCloud from her. Oh, I just love her voice. That's so it just went along so well with the prompts. Her little, she has such a sweet voice. I just love, first of all, that she was able to mix in those three prompts so brilliantly, really bring out a story with each one of the individual prompts. I thought that was so brilliantly done. I just loved, so spill not the tea, but tell me, what kind will it be? She did attack each teapot, with a different story, but as if it was a different kind of tea in each one also. Mm-hmm. The story made a different kind of tea. So, just amazing Kitty the Naughty Poet. Just a delightful write all the way through.
Absolutely. I have to agree with everything there, Naomi. And Pam, how about you?
I enjoyed this. I enjoyed it from that she took it from the perspective of somebody who works, and how I take it is at a tea shop and asking the customer, what kind of tea will it be? And I like that she did three different teapots, and each one she offers up a different experience. And of course the experiences are based on the pictures and they're very exaggerated. But it's kind of funny because a lot of times when you read descriptions of teas or coffee or wine, or even like beer, you get descriptions that are so sometimes off the wall that you just think, who comes up with this stuff? And so I really, liked this a lot. I thought it was fun. I thought it was clever. I liked how she brought in three different teapots, and I like how she brought in the phrase spill the tea at the end. So spill, not the tea, but tell me, what kind will it be? In other words, what kind of adventure do you want to have? Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's an actual term for somebody who works at a tea shop. People who work at a coffee shop are called a barista.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, just thinking out loud.
Yeah, well, it's very possible, I guess, I've never heard it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I mean, it's like you go to the bar and it's a mixologist. If you go to the tea store, what could that be? It could be a title there. Why not? And I like how you really need to have something different for you, and I think that was pretty funny because, I have, because I worked at the smoke shop, I've known quite a few people that went to the medical marijuana store, and this one does this and that one does that and the other one does something else. So it kind of fit that somehow, with this magical little story that she was telling. And I love the three prompts, and I liked how each stanza seemed to point to the different prompts. And I thought that was clever. Definitely, a trio of events here. And, and I like that end lines too, Pam. So spill, not the tea, but tell me, what kind will it be? Because when you and I were talking about spilling the tea, it's a statement saying, tell me the gossip. Give me the story. Tell me what it is. But I liked what kind will it be. I thought that was great. It fit so well with the rest of her poem. So it's clever. It was nice. It was funny. Bits and pieces of it were fun. I shouldn't say funny. They were fun. It was a great write. So thank you, Kitty the Naughty Poet. And of course, we needed her to read that poem because someone from across the pond needed to be heard to read about tea.
Absolutely.
See, it fits the idea. So great job, Kitty, and thanks for sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm. I found the link, by the way. I put it up. It's called a tea sommelier, the same as a wine sommelier, but it's an expert in tea. Yeah. So,
Yeah. There it is. How about it? That is funny. I really had no idea there was any such thing. See that, Pam? You were right.
Oh, there you go. Thank you, Naomi.
And the line said this one full of wonderful images and creative descriptions. Wit by the barrelful. There you go. Thank you, Laurent. Okay. Let me see now. I was going somewhere. Do I remember where? No. I think I was going to read the next one. Everybody just calm down. Okay. And this is called And a Muffin. And a Muffin, Please by Crazy Casey. Okay. And this goes like this. Some fish sticks for dinner, bones stick in my throat. As the breakfast winner, coffee's got my vote. A mid-morning snacking, calories galore. The lunch bags are packing, PBJs and more. With steam screaming loudly, true rest comes for me, and I'll claim it proudly. Yay, afternoon tea. And home. I know, short and sweet. That's my style. Okay. Naomi, do you want to start us off?
No, this you know, it's short, it's brevity, but, you know, there's so much in this. And, you know, I think she attacked that prompt just so amazingly. You know, the bones in my throat, you look at that fish, you know, with the bones there. And, you know, I just love, you know, when the last couplet comes up, and I'll claim it proudly. Yay, afternoon tea. Yeah, it's always great to have a break in the afternoon, relax, have some tea and have some cookies and whatever with it, and, you know, and calories galore. So, yeah, just amazing. And I have a question, because that's not the first time I saw PBJs. What in the world are PBJs?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, okay. Yep. That Quebec girl here, French girl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Peanut butter and jelly. Oh, thank you. I thought it was like pajamas or something.
You know, and it's funny, I would never have thought to even bring it up, because I just take it for granted. Everybody knows what it means, so I'm like, jazz. Oh, my gosh. That's funny. That is funny. Okay, now, I've lost complete track. Sam, am I coming to you now?
I think probably to me, yes.
Oh, good, because I wasn't sure if I'd been there.
Yeah, this is a wonderful brevity all the way through. I do enjoy the references to familiar food that we all can relate to, you know, and, well, I shouldn't say all, but, you know, I think like most of us. And, I like how she's very specific with, like, a couple of things. Like, you know, as the breakfast winner, coffee's got my vote. And then at the end where she says, and I'll claim it proudly, yay, afternoon tea. I like that she put that in exclamations, all capitals. You really feel the enthusiasm for afternoon tea. And you really see how it's like coffee in the, there's a set kind of, you know, like, I don't want to say pattern, but, you know, like a certain way of doing things, like, but not pattern. I can't think of the word. But anyways, but yeah. So I like that. So coffee at breakfast, tea in the afternoon. Clever, right, and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Nice comment. You know, when I looked at this, I kind of saw it as like a day in the life. She starts out with dinner from the night before, you know, talking about fish sticks and, you know, bones sticking her throat. But then she goes to breakfast, and then she goes to mid-morning snack. And then she takes on lunch, you know, and by the time all that is said and done, it's time to, like, sit back and take the time for her with, you know, a cup of tea and a muffin, please. And, you know, I thought it really did. It was a day in the life, but it was done in a great brevity, in couplets, and, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of extra going on with it. You know, it was straight and to the point. I like that very much. That's a good brevity. So nice work there. Crazy Casey. I always have to read it because I always am afraid I'm going to screw it up. But excellent job. Excellent job. Yeah, let me see. Okay, some fish sticks for dinner, bone stick in my throat. The two-line acknowledgement of the image selected works really well. Great brevity. That was from Laurent. We need to hire someone just to read Laurent.
He's laughing at me.
I know, I saw it. Yeah, I did.
Maybe why I packed my PJs in my lunchbox.
that would be a question right there. Oh my God. Okay. Now let me see. I read that one. Who read last besides me? Who read before me?
That's a good question.
Okay, so I'm not the only one who's confused. Life is good. Kitty read before me. Kitty read before me. It's all good.
Okay.
And Naomi read before that. Naomi read Too Mysterious. I played Kitty's, or well, I had you play Kitty's. So, but I read that one. So, Pam, that brings me back to you.
Okay.
You know, your name is Eugene. I could do the Eugene thing all night long. Oh, my God. Okay, Pam, I'm going to put this one up. This one's by Avery. And,
all right. Screaming Steam by Avery 1421. They think the cat's the bad guy. They think he's quite insane. But what's the short-haired tabby to do when the steam screams his name? Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, raw fish sticks and spoiled soup. The Mad Hatter is at home in the place where knives cut and spoons swoop. Alice has the time of her life, dancing around, big eyes and little eyes, bones sticking to the walls of her throat, bits of ham in the strawberry pie. Morning coffee for the rabbit, while Alice gets afternoon tea. Everything is upside down, loony, crazy, mixed up, you see. We're never settling, never ending. We're lost and on our way, hopping, skipping, jumping, journeying to the abound, profound tea party today. End poem.
Great read, Pam, great read. And just so you know, I almost muted you in the middle of your read so everyone could hear me pour my water.
No, dear.
It was really a great read. And Naomi, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I read this earlier. I just thought it was so delightful. You know, the rhythm, the rhyme. And then I really loved the fun fact that she put in her AN, you know, about the Cheshire cat. You know, how he became antagonist, you know, this character that's looked as a villain because Disney started selling merchandise of him alongside with all the other Disney villains, making him more and more popular. So I love that you put in that little note there. Because, you know, I learned something. And, yeah, but I just love the, like I said, the rhyme, the rhythm of this. And, yeah, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So PBJ's in there. And yeah, I just love, the way she went with Alice in Wonderland, but it not in a witty way, a unique way, I think, you know. She just, like, she was playing around with them, you know. And I just enjoyed it so much. The entire write, great, creative, witty and imagination here by Avery.
Great comment, Naomi. And Pam, how about you, hon?
Yeah, I thought this was a great rhyming poem. I like how it had a very quirky feel to it. You know, like as you would expect from an Alice in Wonderland reference poem. I really like bits of ham in the strawberry pies and loony crazy mixed up, you see. We're never settling, never ending. We're lost, and on our way. That whole lot, we're lost and yet we're on our way. It very much does have a Mad Hatter type feel to it, an Alice in Wonderland feel. And I very much enjoy this.
Nice comment, Pam. Nice comment. You know, I got to tell the truth. When I first read Crazy Casey, right, and I'm reading that, and there's fish bones and all this stuff, and I'm going, PB&Js, and I'm going, okay. And the very next piece I read is this one, and I'm going, I got bones stuck in the throat again. What is going on here? And I was getting like kind of like totally confused about what was happening. And then I was like, the bones in the throat and more peanut butter and jelly. And I'm going, what is going on here? And I started to get a little bit kind of uptight. I got to tell the truth. And Pam, in all her wisdom, God bless her, did some research. And what did you find out, Pam?
Well, I didn't research, but I just remembered.
Oh, there you go.
That there was a part in Alice in Wonderland where one of the characters gets a fishbone stuck in their throat, and then, which I think was Alice, and then I do remember there was for sure the part in the Disney cartoon where she was eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
See?
So,
and I had no idea,
yeah.
And I couldn't figure out why I had two completely different poems by two completely different people that had so many similarities, and I'm going, what is happening? I tell the truth, I do. It was nothing personal against anybody, but I was so confused. So why does this have fish bones in the throat again? Oh, said Pam.
Right?
I remembered, and I found out or whatever, and I'm going, oh, okay, and I kind of calmed right back down, but I was like, I couldn't figure it out. I really couldn't, so. You know, sorry for any kind of evil thoughts I had in my brain. I didn't really mean to. I just couldn't help it. You know, I couldn't imagine peanut butter and jelly. I never heard of any of that in Alice in Wonderland. See how stupid I am, right? I must have blinked in that part or skim past it or something, because it was news to me. But I thought this was a great piece nonetheless. Wonderful details, and it was just clever and well expressed, and I really enjoyed it very much. So great job, Avery. There's cool beans there. Let's see. Nothing from the peanut gallery. Hello, Robbie. Well, maybe we do. The never-ending tea party is given the character. I think that was just general. Never mind. I'm going to go back over here again. Okay. Now, Naomi. I think that I need you to read the next one. Okay. This one is by Seagull.
Okay. Tea Party in Runes, or Why I Will Never Again Invite an Elephant to Tea. Oh, yeah, this one is so fun. I read it earlier. I rue the day, it's sad to say, when an elephant came to tea. The chair where she sat was flattened flat, and the table toppled by her knee. She noisily slurped through her trunk, and dared dealing with a hint of hibiscus. Because it was hot, she sneezed on the pot and covered us all with warm mucus. We had cookies flavored with almond, shaved coconut cake on a china plate, sweet claudette cream, pistachio dream, and a silver Hurlum service for eight. Miss Elephant had a great appetite. She loaded three plates to the roof and ate it all, as I recall, then plopped on the floor with an oof. She balanced a cup on her lap, napkin anchored between her toes. She dribbled tea with gay esprit, then wiped her mouth with her nose. The commotion awoke Mr. Mouse with a tempestuous temper display, hopped on the pot, tail in a knot, and frightened Miss Elephant away. So that was the end of the party. The house was soiled and untidy, and nevermore, I solemnly swore, would an elephant be invited to tea. And poem.
Nice job, Naomi. Oh, my gosh. Pam, you want to start us off?
Yeah, this was a wonderful chain of limericks. I like how there's so uses of alliteration throughout. And I like the humor in this. And the attention detail and the imagery. We had cookies flavored with almond, shaved coconut cake on a china plate, sweet chaotic cream, pistachio dream, and a silver heirloom service for eight. I like where she says, and eight, where the elephant then plopped on the floor with an oof. It kind of reminds me the kids' story, when you give a mouse a cookie, it's that whole idea, if you invite an elephant to a tea party, here is what's going to happen. And it's a humorous tale of warning. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I just enjoyed this so much. Just so funny and so just such a delight and so great to read this, right from the first stanza, I rue the day, it's sad to say, when an elephant came to tea. And then, the chair where she sat was flat and flat, and the table toppled by her knee. And then, and she even blows her nose. Oh, she wiped her mouth with her nose.
No.
Yeah, and, it's just amazing. And at the end, when she goes, the house was all soiled and untidy. And nevermore, I solemnly swore, would an elephant be invited to tea. And, the rhyming throughout, it makes it all that more fun, the tale just emphasizes all the fun in the tale. And it's just a great little story that children would so much enjoy. Well, adults, we enjoy it. So imagine kids listening to this. They would get a real laugh out of it. So just an amazing, amazing story. So witty and well told.
Right. Great comment, Naomi. I got such a charge out of this. I really did. First off, that was my favorite teapot. So I have to say, it was my favorite teapot. And I love how you did the limerick chain for that. It was, you know, it was fun. You know, each one, like, I rue the day, it's sad to say, when the elephant came to tea, the chair where she sat was flattened flat, and the table toppled by her knee. You know, and each one was just as good as the one before. You know, we had cookies flavored with almonds, shaved coconut cake on a china plate, sweet clotted cream, pistachio dream, and a silver heirloom service for eight. You know, it was just fun. You know, it was great, great imaginative piece, and I liked it very much. And thank you so much for writing for the contest, Siegel. You know, kind of missed your work, so it was nice to have a fun piece like this to enjoy. And excellent, excellent, excellent. Let me see now what's happening over here. Nothing. Maybe I'll refresh. Maybe something. Ah, Leron says, very well written, perfect limerick form, ribald humor. What's not the like? There you go. Okie dokie, 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 dokie. Good stuff. Very good stuff. Let's see what I can do here. I'll put this next one up, and it's by Julie Buck. I'm going to try and give it a read. And it's more than six lines, so it could be hard on me. Just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, this is called A Teapot Speaks by Julie Buck. Come, my door, she is open. 'Tis tea time again. Walk on in and allow gravity to seat you. What is that smell? I hear your note jazz. Hey, 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 even a teapot can have a bad day. Carved out of stone, fragile as glass, my threatening feline face, fangs bared, moan. This wasn't my choice. Misguided anger muscles on in and reflects my inner voice about what's happening, even if you make it up. Rumors are so fun, hurting everyone. I see your nervous twitch. Does it bother me? No, I like it. Do I care? Well, my mama never did teach me how to share or how not to create a scene. No more tea for you. See what I mean? End poem. Okay. Pam, you want to start this one off?
Well, she certainly gave that teapot a personality all its own. And it does have a very mischievous, very troublemaker grin. And I like that she incorporates the gossip. And hey, hey, even a teapot can have a bad day, carved out of stone, fragile as glass. And, you know, this wasn't my choice. I you know, it's interesting the way she throws lines in there. I like that. Like you know, that one line right in the center, that this wasn't my choice. Like, you know, it's that whole, you know, find somebody else to blame for your bad attitude mentality. I thought she did a clever way of making that kind of social commentary about how oftentimes people find somebody else to blame for their attitude. Mm-hmm. And so excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, I agree with Pam, you know, this is very, you know, she went around. Making a comment on, you know, how people can hurt each other, you know, just by, you know, she has the sarcastic kind of tone throughout it, you know, a very witty way, very clever. You know, she has rumors are fun, hurting everyone, you know, like sarcastically put there. And I see your nervous twitch. Does it bother me? No, I like it. Do I care? You know, just very well written all the way through, and very well done by Julie Buck here. So amazing, right?
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Absolutely. I think you both really, you know, kind of nailed it with the comments. She has written down here, wry humor. I think she nailed it with that, too. I think that it was a wonderful personification of that teapot. I agree with you 100% there, Pam. I think that she did a great job creating such a perfect character, because the look on that cat's face and the attitude that that story tells definitely go hand in hand. You know, the bit of sarcasm and the, you know, well, my mama never did teach me how to share or how not to create a scene. And you can see it in that facial expression of that teapot, which might sound a little crazy to some people, but that's what I see. I think that it misguided anger muscles on in and reflects my inner voice. You know, I don't know. I think that she really just nailed that image. Because each one of these teapots had a different facial feature. You know, that one had a bigger smile, one just had its mouth wide open. This one definitely has that kind of it's almost got like an edgy kind of mean look to it. Even the one that has his teeth bared and his mouth open doesn't have that same kind of mean looking expression. So, and I think that's what she put out of this. And so I think she did a great job with it. So wonderful job, Julie Buck. And thank you for sharing. As always. And good night, Laurent. Stay out of trouble. Let's see now. Where am I going next? Julie Buck. Okay. Okay. Naomi, is it your turn to read?
Oh, boy. I think it's Pam's, isn't it?
Pam said it was yours, and I'm only kidding. I have no idea. I think you were from
No, I really, I think it's Pam's. I'm not sure.
Okay. Oh, you know what?
Yeah, because Naomi read Siegel, which was just before June. So.
Yeah.
You are all so smart. It's a good thing I have you around, because I can't keep three people straight. That's saying something, isn't it? Okay, Pam, I'm going to put this one up for you.
Okie dokie.
Let's see if I can find it. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go.
Oh, my goodness. Yep, tongue twister. All right. I mean. All right, here we go. This is Salsapotent Salsitude by Luke J.R., and it goes like this. Salsapotent Salsitude, mortified through the sea of dynasty and tears, vision cascaded in a river of unfriendly peers, tentacles afraid of the unholy spears, a shriek in the darkness behind the crustacean beam, while the eyes of a thousand lies gaze upon the breaching stars. Shallow as the eyes that sunk deeper than the maggots and the flies, frozen in a state of mind, betrays those that are hard to find. No wonder a face freezing becomes the weakness of the peers greeting, tentacles full of flesh clutching onto every last breath. No words, a face freezing becomes a mountain with the heart that's always beating. For I shall return the love that a creature holds most dear to those above. For I shall return from the depths of an elderly man's tears, petrified through the river of uncertainty. Deceitful glare appear amongst the blood-stained rocks, sharper than the spears. Tentacles entangle around a dying man's final breath, while others may see a smile that shows so much happiness. An onlooker will see that this face was frozen in fear. No wonder a face freezing with tentacles forever bleeding is a weakness. Tentacles full of blood clutching onto every last drop of love. No wonder a face freezing becomes the unearthly presence of a man grieving. For I shall return from the blood-crested moon that shines over every cocoon. For I shall return from the depths of a thousand shadows. The crustacean reigns over with a superior judgment than the rest. It remains still, silent, gasping at every final breath. The octopus may conceal the feelings of such a valiant hero. The crustacean is not so valiant under the watcher's eye. Be free, my friend, be free from an unfriendly friend. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Absolutely. Naomi, do you want to start us off?
Can you come back to me? I was
sure,
I was dealing with my cat. Sorry.
That's okay. I just don't have the heart to ask Pam first. I thought that this was a really well done piece. I thought it was a great tale told to the chosen prompt. And the prompt was that of a man with an octopus on his head, and his tentacles are all wrapped around his face. And his mouth is open as if in a scream. And I'm sure that that's the frozen image that he spoke of. And at the top of that, I guess on the lid, there is a crab, actually, that's on the handle of that. And I thought that it was just a well-penned piece. I thought it was really detailed and a detailed story that he told. There was a lot to this piece, lots of imagery and lots of just details of the thoughts that were running through his head. And I think that it was clever and really nicely done. So with that being said, Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I loved the unique phrasing. I like how there was a certain repetitiveness in the phrasing that gave it a kind of lyrical quality to it. I like how he made the man and his fear part of a character, as well as the tentacles of the octopus. And the crab and the crustacean reigned over with superior judgment than the rest. I thought that was kind of interesting and reminding us that oftentimes the smaller, bigger doesn't mean powerful necessarily as far as brains go. I also really liked shallow as the eyes that sunk deeper than the maggots and the flies, frozen in a state of mind that betrays those that are hard to find. So oftentimes we go searching for a deeper meaning in life and find ourselves drowning. No wonder face freezing becomes the weakness of the peer's greeting. And too oftentimes I think, what that line says to me is too oftentimes we judge people for having fears. So excellent writing, very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Great comment. And Naomi, we're back to you.
Yeah, well, first of all, I love how we, when you look at that teapot, the man, he looks like he's in anguish there, he's in complete terror. And I love how the right, captures that feeling. There's a darkness about this, there's dimensions, death, and you can feel the fear throughout it and like almost like a grasp of those tentacles, like blood sucking you till your death. And like you said, Phil, I love all the little details that he put in, all through. But I loved the darkness within it, and just a great write all through.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. Great comment. Okay, now I got myself all confused because I went first. I got it. Okay, Naomi, I have the next one up for you, if you don't mind. And this one is by Poetic Creations.
Okay. A Salty Brew. The celestial blue eye was a beacon in the night. It was a planet, a star, and a universe that was full of fear. Burdened by, Architeuthis, with its hooked tentacles spread wide and suction cups tight, someone is losing his mind. Moby Dick was thrust into the depths of the crab nebula, a legend in the heavens marred by the cousin of the octopus. Then like a Trojan horse gone mad, the sun drove itself into the sea, and not even Atlas could support a salty tea. End poem.
Great piece. Great read, Naomi. Pam, how about you? You want to start us off? She said she'd be right back. Okay, if I was paying attention. I thought this was a well-written piece, full of details, and I liked how he pulled in, I don't know how to pronounce that either, Naomi, I'm not going to lie. I don't know what that is. But
it's a giant squid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hooked tentacles spread.
I just looked it up.
There we go. One is losing his mind. And it does. It looks like he's just drawing all his sanity almost from him, you know. But Moby Dick was thrust into the depths of the Crab Nebula, a legend in the heavens marred by the cousin of the octopus. So I think that it was a clever kind of take on this, because he again, just like Avery, was it Avery? I think it was, no, it wasn't Avery. Whoever it was, somebody had gone and pulled in the stars and the constellations and all of that information. And I think that it has some similarities to that. It's just done in a shorter form with a whole lot less words, but I think it still has kind of a similar pull to it, you know, an idea. And I think that that was pretty darn clever. You know, then like a Trojan horse gone mad, the sun drove itself into the sea, and not even Atlas could support a salty tea. So, I mean, really, it was a pretty clever and descriptive piece, you know, with a lot of really cool ideas in it, and I like that. So great job, Poetic Creation. Now, do you want to, do you want to go ahead and comment, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I'm just reading on the Crab Nebula. You know, it's the remains of a star which suffered a supernova explosion. It's a massive, the remains of a massive star there, and it's full of gas. There, gas remnants of the galactic nova, and 6,500 light years away, and it's 700 miles, expanding at a rate of 700 miles per second. So he puts a lot of information into this poem. I mean, you know, it's so intelligently written, you know, from that name of that giant squid, which I had no idea, and then he puts Moby Dick in there, and you know, the Crab Nebula, and then he goes into the Trojan horse and Atlas,
right.
and you know, so just packed with so much, you know, information in this piece. And, just brilliantly pulled together and so representative of that chosen teapot right there. You know, I think he did a great take on that prompt.
Absolutely.
Great job, Poetic Creations, on this, right?
I totally agree with you, but for certain, Naomi. Great job. Great job, PC. Now, Pam, are you back? Have you returned?
I am. I'm back, and I've had time to read. And I think the other poem you were thinking of was Time Tellers brought in the,
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the mythologies. Yeah, I like this. I like how I get the basic idea of the mysteries of the universe. And I really like how he focused in on the one detail to start this, and that's the blue eye on the face. You know, the celestial blue eye was a beacon in the night. I like that he brings in all the different mythologies, the Moby Dick, the Trojan horse, and, you know, and makes them, you know, makes them all, like, well, I especially like the part where he makes Moby Dick that legend in the heavens, because, you know, there was the whale in that story was the bad guy. And, you know, so that was a nice twist there. And I also like the sun drove itself into the sea. There's a real representation of self-destruction there. Mm-hmm. So beautifully written and very well done.
Nice job. Nice job. Okay. And Pam, that's going to bring me back to you.
Okie dokie.
My friend. And I know you like it. Oh, my.
All right. So this is Mousy Mousy Tea Time Tales by Rich F. And it goes like this. Welcome to my tea party, the merry Moggy cried. Oh, hello, Mr. Mousykins. Please come on right inside. Don't stand there squeaking sorry tails, a-shaking at my door. Just stroll right in and take a cup, sit down, and I will pour. Are you sitting comfortably? The canny cat lord crooned. One lump or two, you sweetiekins. Please take a silver spoon. You know you're causing quite a stir, the mouse who came to tea. Now all my cat pack felines purr. Those tempted tomcat dudes concur, the alley cat with the matted fur. All wail with alacrity. So help yourself to tea and cake, the feline gushed with glee. Jump right up inside the cup. We'll tuck you in and lift you up. We'll tuck you in and lift you up, the mouse who came for tea. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Great read. I know he said prompt 7, but I think I got people messed up with my numbers. So, Naomi, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I just love that was a great read, by the way, Pam. You know, and the way you read it there just brought out all the delightful storytelling here throughout. Welcome to my tea party, the merry Moggy cried. Oh, hello, Mr. Mousykins. Please come on right inside. You know, it just flows so wonderfully, the whole thing. And, you know, the whole ride is so delightful. I just love the part where, you know, now all my cat pack felines purr, these tempted tomcats dudes concur, the alley cat with the mated fur, all wail with alacrity. I love that they put that in there. And, you know, just, and in the end stanza, of course, you know, the repetition of, we'll tuck you in and lift you up. We'll tuck you in, lift you up. The mouse who came for tea. Just a wonderful rhyming tale all through. Just delightful.
And Pam, how about you?
I did enjoy this. It's always a delight to read, you know, this kind of rhyming poem where it's got the wonderful alliteration, the great rhyme. You know, it's a wonderful tale. You know, it's one of those rites that young and old alike can enjoy. And I like that this is another one similar to Naomi's, where there's a kind of that little lesson learned, you know, because, you know, the mouse thinks he's making friends, and in the end, he ends up getting lifted up to the cat's mouth. I thought it was definitely clever and very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with both of you. It was a great piece. You know, I thought it was an excellent take on the prompt. Clever and well penned. But I thought it was wonderful rhyme and meter throughout. And you know, as you said, Pam, a great use of alliteration. But what a fun tale. And it's only fun because it's a great read. You know, the read just kind of, just you glide along throughout the story. And it makes it a fun read. The story itself is great. And I looked at Prom 7, and I guess Prom 7, it just had kind of an evil look on its face. And I thought, well, maybe I had them mixed up because somebody else seemed to grab a number that was above instead of below or whatever. But I guess, you know, yeah, I guess maybe that mean-looking kitty might be the one. For real, for real. It wasn't very nice to the little mousy. But just really well done, right, Rich? And I want to thank you for writing for the contest. And I really enjoyed this piece. So wonderful job. Mm-hmm. Now, Miss Pam. I know you just read that one. But the next one I'm going to put up has a sound clip. So,
okay, that's good.
Yeah, I wouldn't get you to read two in a row.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that would have been three in a row because I read the one before that. So.
Oh, well, you should have said something. You know, I get messed up.
I didn't think anything of it. But I would have thought of something of three in a row. All right. So, sorry. What is the next one?
It's by Mark Loopy.
Okie dokie. All right. Here we go.
Cat pot perspective. Any cat who isn't cruel is actually a fool. So my parents taught me. I didn't take them seriously. They were boring, too prosaic. I preferred a blue mosaic. Rationalizations, twisted art around my human boiling heart. Plenty of reasons to hate, to kill, poured out as a sugared swill, infused with clotted bitter lees, which I hold back in silver sheaths. I just show destructive smile and practice all-consuming guile. People will sip beneath my stare, in contemplation, unaware. There is no innocence. It's not there, since nobody sees it anywhere. End of poem.
That was good. Hey, well, Naomi, I'm going to come to you first again.
Yeah, you really captured that evil grin, those evil eyes on that cat in this right. You know, I just love they were bore. You know, when he's talking about his parents, they were boring, too prosaic. I preferred a blue mosaic. You know, the blue of the teapot, also the reference there. You know, and infused with clotted bitter leaves, which I hold back in silver sheaves. I should just show destructive smile and practice all-consuming guile. Just amazing couplets, amazing rhythm and rhyme here. And, you know, and the attitude and the voice and the sound cloud, just amazing. What an amazing SoundCloud that was. You could feel all the emphasis and all the attitude in that SoundCloud. So just a great, great job. Great write. Great read, Mark Loopy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Pam, how about you, hon?
I really, yeah, I like this. I thought it was intriguing and clever. I think the character cat, the cat pot perspective was actually, and I could be wrong, but this is how I interpret it, was actually supposed to be kind of a characterization of the historical figure Pol Pot, who was a Cambodian, he had a lot of people killed. Like the Cambodian, like Hitler,
gotcha.
You know, not a nice guy, and just based on the name that he chose, Cat Pot Perspective, and some of the lines in here, I almost get that kind of darker feel, And even the mocking tone. So anyone who isn't cruel is actually a fool. So my parents taught me. I didn't take them seriously. They were boring, too prosaic. You know, the idea of someone who's from generation to generation is taught cruelty. It definitely some great rhyming couplets. I really liked infused with clotted bitter leaves, which I hold back in silver seas. And I just show destructive smile and practice all consuming guile, which, you know, works well with the theme of somebody who, it works well with the grin on the cat, but it works well on that idea of somebody who likes to control people by simply using their words to control people. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Well, excuse me. You know, I think he did a great job personifying the prompt, and it was well done, transference of character onto the prompt as well. It was just a clever and well done piece. So I want to thank you, Mark Loopy, for sharing with us. And most likely you are correct, Pam, because Mark has a way of doing things like that about Pol Pot and what have you. You know, you're a little quicker to catch those things than I. But I don't know. I think you are most likely correct. And I think the way that Mark read this really threw some more weight into it, because he read it in a way that sounded sinister. So I think that it just lent something to that image. It changed it up a little bit. It did make the image seem a little darker. And you're absolutely right there, Pam. Okay, and I believe we only have one more left. And I'm going to pick that up. And Naomi, I'm going to give it to you. And this piece is by Thomas B.
The pot, the plot. Alice said, just to be fair to the hare, I have to see is what I have for tea. I have to see if what I have for tea. Yeah, that's what it is. Between you and me is what has been shaking my sense of reality. I feel as if the world we are upon will disappear when comes the dawn. Life seems to be all smiles. But after a while, I feel those that grin think they are the ones who are in control again. The hare, feeling despair and lost for time, wasn't sure if this lady understood the divine. But there was not time to save her soul or feed her to the ones in the know. Cats are known to tease They do it at their ease. They are really pleased by the way it seems to frighten the soon-to-be deceased. Alice sipped her cup, never realized the problem lie in fungi spores. Oh, the distant shores, I feel the breeze. Fair hair, as you can tell, I am under a spell. Cheshire grins, the world spins. The cat has it in the bag. Water brewed, or more game of mystic tag. It is time to eat the prey. Alice died that day. End poem.
Dark, dark, dark. Pam, you want to kick us off on this one?
Yeah, you know, I like that he put in familiar Alice in Wonderland characters such as Alice and the hare and the Cheshire cat. And I like that he gave this a kind of a dark twist. It felt like the whole idea of the games people play and the way they betray each other. I like the hare feeling despair and lost for time. Wasn't sure if this lady understood the divine, but there was not time to save her soul or feed her to the ones in the know. Like the whole idea of being so in a hurry that you don't have time to offer something nice and beautiful to somebody. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is an interesting piece to me because, you know, he did, and trust me, I don't have any issue with anyone taking anything to the dark way. I guess I just kind of threw me when, you know, Alice died that day. You know, that's a rough ending in my book. But I think that the piece was well written and well, you know, well expressed, nicely penned in, you know, with wonderful eye for detail. But Thomas is good for that. He usually comes up with a very detailed piece, you know, with great imagery and what have you. So I think that this was just a great piece by him. And yeah, I think that it really, you know, Alice sipped her cup, never realized the problem lie in fungi spores. Oh, these distant shores, I feel the breeze. Fair hair, as you can tell, I am under a spell. You know, so I guess, I guess it wasn't a good kind of tea for her. But great job, Thomas, and thank you so much for writing. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I think, you both hit it on the nail there. You know, this is about deceit and lies and you know, abuse too, because, you know, when it, just in that stanza, cats are known to tease. They do it at their ease. They are really pleased by the way it seems to frighten the soon-to-be deceased. And, you know, it's so true. Oh, my gracious, I see my cat, you know, and she goes outside and she catches a mouse or whatever she catches, you know, whether it's a bird or a mouse, she'll knock them around, you know, till they hop and they, poor things, you know, you just want to go out and rescue them and you, but you know, it's nature, you know, and he brings that out so much in that, just in that single stanza right there, you know, the abuse, the torture, the lies, the deceit, the deceit there, I find, you know, so just a very well written piece. Like Tom can write them with, you know, a powerful message all through. So bravo, Tom, in this piece.
Absolutely. Well, that's all I got. That's all, folks. I can't stutter, otherwise I'd have done it. But hang on. One more time, Pam, just for you.
A cup of tea, a cookie, and you.
Oh, my God. Yes, and I got that in just before the 12 o'clock mark. I just want you to know. But thank you, ladies. It was a fun night.
That was a great show tonight.
Yeah, we did all right. We got through all the poems, and we did good. We even had time for another funny at the end of the show. people are going to listen to it. See, what we're still doing. But, you know, you had to see the video, Naomi. It's the green witch from the cartoon.
You have to put it up in the room.
Oh, good.
Put it up in the room after the show or tomorrow. I want to see it.
So it was a great show, ladies. It was a lot of good poetry, a lot of fun. Great comments, you two. Wonderful reading. And, I know. I didn't read very much. I apologize. But, you know, I try and duck tripping over everybody's stuff. You know, I leave it to the pros.
Ha, ha, ha.
But anyhow, great show as always, and thank you very much. And I look forward to next time. That's next Tuesday. Who shows next Tuesday? Where's next Tuesday?
I do.
Pam, is it you?
Pam. Yeah.
What are we doing, Pam?
Oh, that is a good question.
I don't believe you don't know.
I don't remember. Anyways.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Okay, you too. Okay.